This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer Report, Living Wage Campaign, New Zealand version. Talking to union members, organizers, and activists in New Zealand, one thing many of them mentioned as a bright, shining spot has been the progress of the living wage movement throughout the country. The national mandatory minimum wage is $16.50 New Zealand per hour, and the living wage number this fall is going to be more than $4 New Zealand dollars higher, around 2050 New Zealand. In U.S. dollars, that would be a current minimum of $10.84 per hour compared to $7.25 per hour as the federal minimum in America and $13.46 compared to the $15 per hour that's been the campaigning point for many in the states. It's not hard to see how a campaign like this would start to make a huge difference, especially to lower wage workers, just as the living wage movement has delivered in other countries. Living wage standards are different than in the U.S. version because they're voluntary rather than mandatory. In the U.S., where achieved, a living wage victory sets a new hard floor for all workers in a jurisdiction, either corporate, public employers, or contracted workers for public authorities. Labor unions have been more aggressive in joining with community partners in the U.S. to force living wage levels for subcontractors as a hedge against subcontracting by eliminating the incentive for public employers to join the race to the bottom so common in the modern economy. The Living Wage Campaign in New Zealand has been more along the lines of the effort developed in the United Kingdom by UK citizens. Employers are both targeted by the campaign and solicited broadly to voluntarily join the campaign and become accredited as living wage employers. They receive a certificate that can be posted, and they are allowed to advertise the fact that they pay the living wage minimum. There's no governmental enforcement mechanism for scoff laws, but in talking to a union organizer, not surprisingly, many unions have used that fact as an organizing tool to encourage workers to join the union in order to enforce that way and generally improve wages and working conditions. At this point, there are about 100 employers that have agreed to the standard, covering an estimated 1,000 workers throughout the country. Many of the early employers were nonprofits, charities, and religious organizations, but even more significantly, the campaign has succeeded in bringing on public employers in several jurisdictions, including Christ Church and other larger city councils. At the end of 2017, a national utility company, Vector, agreed to the standards, which was a major breakthrough as the first large private sector company. The national government, a labor green coalition, is reportedly coming on board soon, which will encourage more public employers on the local level to join the new standard as well. Since the agreement covers contractors, this should be a boon for labor organizing to see that it gets done and stays intact. Over the next year, some believe the standards may cover 5,000 workers. Many believe that these early successes of the campaign are helping solidify the potential for community labor coalitions and could be one of the many factors re-energizing the New Zealand labor movement. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.
This program is produced by the Arkansas Broadcasting Foundation, KABF-FM in Little Rock, Arkansas, and is distributed through Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, serving the needs and interests of low and moderate income Americans.